Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
One day, Total Nonstop Jarrett wasn't just a stage show. Would you guys listen to a Jeff Jarrett podcast?
Hey, it's Conrad Thompson. I know what you're thinking. This guy has another podcast? Listen, I get it, but let me explain. For years, I've been asked, if you could have a podcast with anyone in wrestling today, who would it be? And I've been consistent that one of those names was Jeff Jarrett. Now, hear me out here. Jeff Jarrett is a third-generation promoter. He grew up in the Memphis territory, broke in the business in 86, won the Intercontinental, and walked out on Vince McMahon in 95. He jumped ship to start working with the Horsemen in 96, and then told the world what he really thought about Austin 316 in 98. He held up Vince McMahon for a ton of cash in 99 and jumped ship again to become world champion in 2000. And then on the final night of the Monday Night War, the only ever Raw Nitro simulcast, he was publicly fired by Vince McMahon in 2001. So without a job in wrestling, he decides to embrace his family heritage as a promoter and create jobs himself, and started his own promotion in 02. And then a former WCW employee who was on his team committed fraud that nearly bankrupted both him and his father. So he found an angel investor of sorts who wound up being indicted on one of the largest financial schemes in American history. With both of those guys facing prison time, he met with a public relations firm in Nashville to figure out how to save face, only to find out the lady he was talking to had billionaire parents. And that's when things got really crazy. If Jeff Jarrett's life story were a movie script, nobody would believe it.
Jeff Jarrett, how are you doing?
Good, my friend. I appreciate you having me on. Ready to talk a little My World podcast and all things wrestling.
What has kept you mentally sane during the last stupid 12 months, Jeff?
That's a good question. You know what? I'll say this out of our candle, that when I can remember vividly, I was on a plane in New York City, LaGuardia, and I boarded, and there were two business gentlemen right next to me, and they started talking about lockdowns and this and that. There's not going to be any more travel. I really thought they were crazy. I'm like, what are these guys talking about? Well, sure enough, that was my last flight. But about a week, not even a week into it, I realized that, you know, when the sports league started shutting down and just the early days of the pandemic that we all have memories of, I knew right then that I said, okay, I'm going to make sure this is sort of how my brain works. I basically recalculated my daily schedule, my daily routine, and I put in some things that work on myself. And I started taking some online different courses, basically, and did a lot of reading, and I got in a second workout. So I literally planned a new schedule, so to speak, to keep me sane, and it certainly did. And to tell you the truth, physically, not that I was in real bad shape, but, you know, I'm in better shape now than I've been in quite some time, and mentally refreshed in a lot of ways, and I didn't become a couch potato. I did a lot of reading, like I said, and listened to different programs and listened to some podcasts about, you know, just marketing and self-awareness and all those kinds of things. So I think I've not only survived, I think I've thrived pretty well in this pandemic environment.
What podcasts have you been listening to? Give us one that you love the bones off of.
Well, you're going to get into, but there's a guy named Donald Miller with Story Brand Marketing. That's probably right up there at the top. Tim Ferriss, some old ones of his. Of course, you know, something to wrestle with, 83 weeks, Conrad Thompson, my partner. But no, you know, out of this, obviously some wrestling podcast. But, you know, one thing as far as documentaries that I watched on television was The Last Dance with Michael Jordan and all that. And that really is a part of the inspiration for me finally doing a podcast, because in the on-demand world we live in, Tom, I now view podcasting a little bit different than I did, say, 12 months ago, because podcasting, it falls into that form of on-demand entertainment, you know, Netflix, Hulu, and, you know, YouTube. You can you can go watch any wrestling match or anything at any time. So now that podcasting, and it opened my eyes to it, and the business model, and just it's compelling entertainment. It's a part of what finally made me say yes to Conrad, who's been chasing me for a while, to do a podcast.
You celebrated 35 years just the other month in the wrestling industry. Now, born into a family that is in wrestling, surrounded by wrestling, was there ever even the faintest chance that there was going to be anything else, Jeff?
I'm one of five. So I'm the only one in the industry. I've got four siblings. I'm the only one in the sports entertainment / professional wrestling industry. So I was never, ever, ever pressured into doing it, but they didn't have to. I had a bug very early. I was always fascinated as a young man, before I was a teenager, not just the in-ring product, everything that went around it. My grandmother was a promoter, and I can remember riding to towns with her, and I would go to towns 6-8 weeks before the event was to arrive, and we called them window cards, basically posters you would hang up in mom and pop stores around the community, go to the local newspaper, go to the local radio station, buy advertising to see the basically from the time the event was marketed to the time it was executed. I was always really fascinated by the industry. So I got a bug real early, loved it. And so I promoted shows or helped out promoting shows, shall I say, and set up the ring and sold Cokes and sold popcorn long before I had my first match. So I was bit by the bug early.
The industry's changed so much since you started out, but some elements of it are still very much the same. For those who are getting their foot in, who are starting their 35-year-plus journey, what advice would you give to them?
You know, Tom, you hit on it, that yes, it's radically changed in so many ways, but the basics have not at all. The means of distribution radically change, but the communication skills needed to succeed really haven't. Our business, yes, you can be a great technical in-ring wrestler. You can have all the marketing and all the million-dollar production surrounding you, but if you as a performer don't know the basics of connecting with your audience emotionally, that goes with any form of entertainment. We're all, as humans, connected emotionally, and 75% of our emotion is conveyed nonverbal. So when you drill it down into knowing how to communicate with your audience, and not always just vocally, but from nonverbal, you have to be able to connect with your audience. So I stress to folks that ask me, and I say, you absolutely have to learn the basics of the business, of how to get in the ring and wrestle and all that kind of stuff. But most importantly, at the very top of that is how to connect with your audience. And nowadays, talent, you know, in my day, coming up in the business, Twitter and Instagram weren't even thought of, let alone YouTube and Facebook and all of social media. And so we had 6, 8, 10 minutes a week, if we were lucky. And that I'm literally saying, if we were lucky, you got on TV 6 or 8 minutes to basically connect with the audience. Now you can connect with your audience 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, if you so choose. And when you connect with them, you better be authentic, and you have to really learn how to connect with your fan base from a real deep core emotional foundation.
You'll be connecting with people through My World, which is the new podcast from adfreeshows.com. And it's going to talk about your 35 plus years in wrestling. Jeff, are we getting an episode on World Wrestling All-Stars? Because that holds a really special place in my heart, because as a wrestling fan of a certain vintage, as WCW ended, like, you guys were there for what felt like a heartbeat, fill in the void. with guys that we knew and new guys that we were. And are we going to get some conversations on WWA? Please tell me we are.
And Tom, I'm glad you brought that up, because when you look at my career, you know, from the early days of the territories and the early Double J days, WWF, WCW, back to WWE, then back to WCW. And then most people think it jumped from there to TNA and then on and then to the Hall of Fame. But the real, in my brain, and only in my, you know, the 6 inches between my ears, the WWA really served as an incredible outlet for me. The short answer to your question is absolutely. We're going to go in depth. There's UK tours, there's Australia tours, there's a New Zealand pay-per-view. But really, when I sat there, the formation of TNA was done in my brain on the WWA All-Stars Tour, because there was lots of talent, great crowds, great events. And it was really a special time that I looked and I'm saying, there's a lot of people walking through these doors buying tickets with no episodic television, that they're coming to watch these stars. And I knew that there was a huge void in the marketplace. You know, WWE, they weren't really number one, because to be a number one, you got to have a number two. There was no number two. There was nothing out there, just WWE. So I knew there was an opportunity, and got in the ball game and TNA went from just a dream to a reality, and then super successful at a time.
So we're getting an episode about it. That's the main thing.
Several, my friend.
Several. Get in. I'm delighted. Now, I know there's a lot of people who have been chatting to you, asking about like returning to the ring and doing other things. But there's one I don't know whether people have asked about, because over your shoulder, Jeff, is the gorgeous Sweet Charlotte. The NWA World Heavyweight Championship is a beauty of a belt. NWA Power is doing stuff which is a love letter to that time in wrestling. Has there ever been any consideration of doing stuff with them? Do you watch the product? Do you love what they're doing? Could you work some magic there?
So it goes without saying, you know, in starting TNA, you know, I grew up on the NWA. My father's favorite champion was Dory Funk Jr. I got to wrestle Dory Funk at one point several years ago. So, you know, NWA has always had a place, and it's a 70-year-old brand. So it goes without saying. And then also, Nick Aldis is a guy that worked for me at TNA, and then obviously at Rinka King in India. I'm a big fan of Nick and always have been. So when you put all that together, you never know where life may take you, but I'm a big fan, and yes, I've watched, and, you know, doing it at Georgia Public Broadcasting in the studio vibe, you know, it goes without saying, in Orlando, we had years and years of studio shows. But you know, the power, NWA Power, it's got that unique vibe to it. And as we both know, there's so much wrestling out in the marketplace, Impact, AEW, Ring of Honor, WWE, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, NXT UK. I mean, we could go, you know, New Japan, New Japan America. Lots of brands out there, and we're all one big wrestling universe, so you never know, Tom.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Thank you.
If you don't do so already, subscribe to the Cultaholic podcast feed for daily wrestling news, classic reviews and watch-alongs, exclusive interviews and wrestling documentaries. Search out Cultaholic wherever you download your podcasts from. You'd mentioned there about NXT UK. It's a brand that we're seeing expanding into other places. WWE have somehow been able to continue expanding throughout their time into places like India and places like China and further expansion into the UK. And you mentioned Rinka King. There's a real special energy about wrestling shows in India, isn't there, right now, more than anything?
100%. I've often said, and especially on this tour, I've been asked, that is... a frontier that only the wrestling industry has scratched the surface. I'm currently looking into some opportunities in India. I really believe that the sky's the limit, because culturally, you know, in Mexico, it's soccer, which you crazy folks call football, but there's
don't want to fall out with you, Jeff. I don't want to fall out with you.
Exactly. But no, you know, the Lucha Libre product is woven in the fabric. In Japan, in a lot of ways, professional wrestling is woven in the fabric of the culture. Well, in India, it's cricket and Bollywood. But when you combine sport and Bollywood, you really do have sports entertainment. So the country, the largest population of under 25, they're youthful, they're energetic. They absolutely love professional wrestling, and it's a place I want to be.
Before I let you go, a lot of people are going to listen to this, and the one item that you're known for in your career, is, as well as championships, is the guitar, right? So, Jeff, what are your three most memorable guitar shots? Your top three kabongs, Jeff. Who are your top three kabongs?
It's hard to nail it down to the top three, but, you know, I've told this story a couple of times. My youngest daughter came home from school one time, and the meme or the gif of me hitting Beetlejuice over the head. And there was no point of reference. They didn't know who Beetlejuice was. Some people are like, what is this? Anyway, so Beetlejuice is talked about quite a bit. Fabulous Moolah ranks right up there at the top because it was so shocking. The timing was right. It meant a lot because of the build for China's match. Just everything around that was really, really impactful. So that ranks right up there. But you're asking for three. Gary Coleman is a favorite. Just the timing of that, because nobody thought I was going to hit little guy Gary Coleman, and I cracked him good. But, you know, I could keep going on and on. You hit a sweet spot with me talking to guitar shots. So if you want to stick around a while, we'll talk guitar shots.
For as long as they're making guitars, there will always be guitar shots. I'm aware that you're a busy man today, sir, so let's push the podcast. My World. Who sang My World, by the way? Who sang the My World theme song?
Grado. You know Grado?
No, was not Grado.
Right.
But, you trickster.
Ask Grado to sing it for you, because he sings it about as good as Dale Oliver sings it. Dale Oliver wrote and composed it. Me and him wrote it together. But Dale's very, very talented guy. But ask Grado one day to sing.
I've got his number. I will ring him after this.
I would love for you to record it.
Leave it with. So My World is out May the 4th.
Yes. It drops every Tuesday, starting next Tuesday, May 4th, and every Tuesday thereafter. You can catch me on all my socials at Real Jeff Jarrett, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And we just launched a brand new website. It's realjeffjarrett.com. It will tell you all about the podcast. You can subscribe there. It's a one-stop shop. Merch, subscribe, you name it. Tom, I really appreciate your time today. Tom, you take this. So I will say this, you know, in my career, that goes back from the territory days and then WWF, WCW, and on and on. But the amount of time that I've spent in the UK with World of Sport, dating back to the Harvey Goldsmith and Martin Goldsmith days. So there's a big part of my career that I've spent the early days of TNA. So you can't really mention Double J Jeff Jarrett career without really discussing his time in the United Kingdom. So that's going to be a good part of the podcast.
Well, there's so many. We're very proud of that. The British wrestling scene is something really special, something sure. We hold very, very dear. I'm excited to hear the podcast, sir. Like, I eat up the ad-free shows and the Conrad Thompson stuff, so I'm delighted you're now part of that. It's
all right,
wonderful.
So Tom, take us out. Can you hum us a few bars or sing us a few bars of My World?
The only bits I know is I don't know the full words. I know the noises. It was like, Etna, Etna, your face, your pale skin is on your face. Something, 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 something. You will see a king. That's the bit I know.
I love it. Good stuff, my man. Good sport.
Welcome to My World. Hear my story like you've never heard it before. Unfiltered and uncensored for the very first time. From Memphis to the WWF, WCW, TNA, and everywhere in between. Nothing is off limits in My World. Subscribe today and don't miss My World with Jeff Jarrett, Tuesdays on Westwood One.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.